Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Dua Hamad. She's an 18-year-old Pakistani-American. And in her first published book, Finding Home, Dua offers readers a poignant look at her multicultural Pakistani-American existence. With insight well beyond her teenage years, Dua shares a rarely seen glimpse of life as an immigrant and the struggle to fit in two different worlds. Finding Home details her difficult journey of acculturation in a new land while staying true to the demands and expectations of the Pakistani heritage she cherishes. Dua's book is available from Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link in the show page description to her book there. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dua to the show. Good day, Dua.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. It's always a delight to highlight young authors, and this is a really great opportunity, and also to be able to learn a lot about the challenges of a youth in a multicultural environment. So I guess the first place to start is you published your book 2 weeks prior to graduating from high school. So what inspired you to do that, to write it and publish it?
My senior year, I was paying a lot of attention to current events and just everything going around, and I didn't like what was going around, so I decided to write a book. And before my senior, I knew in the summer after graduating things would change. I would get more busy, so I wanted to publish what I knew I still could. I wouldn't have any other responsibilities, so that's why I set the limit of before graduation.
Yeah, well, you know, that's great, a great goal to have. And I, like you, am not real pleased with what we're seeing, you know, in today's environment when it comes to, you know, embracing the multicultural diversity of our population. So, I also want to know that, you know, what it's like to be a first-generation American living in a household with South Asian cultural traditions. What's it like, and what are maybe a couple of the traditions that seem to have the biggest difficulty, you know, kind of fitting in or, you know, being able to honor the traditions yet still, you know, feel, you know, kind of incorporating the American aspect of life.
Yeah, so I came here when I was 3 years old, and growing up with a Pakistani heritage was very difficult for me because I saw like the huge gap between Pakistani and American life. The biggest thing probably is that in most South Asian cultures, there's a phrase, it's "do kya kenge," and that translates to "what will people say." And if you're a girl, most of the time you have to be pure, be very nice, because what will people say? So I used to see, you know, these things at home, things my mom would tell me, and then I would go in school and I would be like, you know, why isn't anyone else doing this? Why isn't anyone else talking about like the values or traditions that we have? So for a long time, I just didn't like my culture. And then the more and more I grew up and I started visiting Pakistan, I realized, you know, it's a very beautiful culture and I should be proud of it. But it took a long time for me to understand that.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting, the idea of what would people say. So it seems like in the Pakistani culture that a big emphasis is placed on, I guess, what, fitting in and making
making sure that you don't do anything that would create a riff, you know, or bring about some negative, you know, responses, you know, to you or your family?
Yeah, definitely. It's all about protecting the family name. Since, like, we're little, that's the biggest thing. And it's funny, I would, I went back to Pakistan and I would see, like, here it was emphasized. But when you go back and you see it's even more emphasized there, and you see there's a lot more double standards there versus you see, like, guys being able to do anything. And girls are just told right away not to do anything. For me, that was just, I didn't see that here in school. I didn't see that in any of my friends here. So for me, I was like, wait, why do we have to do this if other people don't?
Wow. So now, this when you're going back and forth, you know, when your family brought you back and forth to Pakistan, how did you integrate, you know, those differences? I mean, you know, recognizing, like, the treatment of boys to girls there, and then in the American environment, you know, we, even though it's not always the case, we strive for equality, you know, and you know, an approach. So how, when it came to discussing this with your family, you know, these differences, what were the reactions? Was it kind of, did they kind of direct you back toward the Pakistani tradition, or did they understand the American tradition? And how did your family react? Because, again, you know, if the idea is to protect the family name, how did the family, you know, guide you in that process?
I think the first 2 years I went, I honestly didn't see that much of a difference because I was just so in love with, like, all the new, like, culture. But, like, by the third time I went, I was very, like, closely watching everything, and I began to voice to, like, my family there, like, things I didn't like. And their reaction was, well, you know, like, you don't live here. You don't know how things go here. You're just, like, an American. And that, for me, was so strange because my entire life here, when I was living in America, people were like, oh, well, you know, you're not an American. So when I came back here, I started to voice, like, things to my parents. I was like, wait, why is this the way? And they're like, you know, this is how culture is. And I was like, no, like, I love culture, but there are things that need to be changed. So at first, everyone's a little bit like, okay, what is she saying? But after a while, they saw that, like, you know, it wasn't a phase. It wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Those teenagers, what do they think, huh? So, well, you know, I mean, because, see, that's, you know, the part of the, I think, the challenge for any immigrant, you know, coming, or, you know, anyone coming into the U.S. and trying to become integrated, you know, into the society, you know, it's one of those things where it always seems that there's a balance between cultural traditions and, you know, the old and the new kind of thing. And yeah. You know, quite often, my personal feeling is that it's, you know, I think it's great to be able to hold on to, you know, your cultural heritage, you know, because I think that cultural diversity, to me, it's wonderful to, you know, to keep it alive and keep people, you know, and there's a richness, I guess, you know, in that. And,
yeah, definitely.
But then again, there's the things where sometimes those cultural traditions hold people back.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So now, as far as the traditions in Pakistan and in the U.S., how do you feel that people see you here in the U.S. as far as your beliefs? I mean, where do you think people, if someone were to come up and say that, you know, if I were to explain to her, I would say that she is, you know, fill in the blank as far as when it comes to your beliefs, you know, conservative, liberal, mixed kind of thing.
I think people see me as someone that doesn't have really a filter. What I feel on my mind, I say it, and I live like in Northern Virginia, so most of the time here, people are very understanding of that. But I've been to areas where where people just I start saying things, and as soon as I start saying anything, people look at me and they're like, you know, you don't belong here. And it doesn't get to me anymore, because I've gotten if you said this to me when I was 15 or 16, oh, go back to your country, you don't belong here, that would have just broken me. But now I realize, you know, this is my home, no matter despite what anyone says. So I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and you know, I know you're Northern Virginia, I know, you know, pretty well, and there's a pretty open and educated population there. I live in South Carolina. I'm afraid a lot of my neighbors would probably be still in the former, unfortunately. But you know, to me, that's I'm glad that it doesn't bother you, but it's still to me, it's irritating for people to pass judgment just based on how someone looks or talks or even their belief systems.
It's to me, I've gotten older, so it's okay for me. But when I think about my little brothers or my baby cousins, the fact that they might have to go through that, then it starts really upsetting me. And that was a huge factor in writing the book too, because what I went through as a child, I was bullied a lot. There was my whole elementary school, I would come home crying. So when I came, when I see my brothers and cousins in elementary school now, I tell them, you have to tell me if someone says something. And they're like, nobody says anything. Well, that's good. But there's always this fear in the back of my head that, you know, the past is going to repeat itself.
Yeah. Now, do you think that they may hold back from you too? I mean, because, you know, it can be... you know, admitting that you're being bullied or that kind of thing can be a challenge. So you think that you've kind of created that open environment for them to be able to honestly be able to talk to you if that were the case?
Yeah, definitely. Especially my little brother, he's in fourth grade. I tell him all the time and he gets it. I'm like, because every day I'm like, you have to tell me. And he's like, listen, I will. So I feel God forbid, the time comes, he knows that if he doesn't tell me, he's going to be in trouble.
Okay. Well, good. That's good. That's the big sister, and you're taking care of him. And that's great. And it's also encouraging, too, that, you know, at least at this particular point in time, that he hasn't experienced that. And you know, maybe there is a shift happening where, you know, it's going to be happening less and less. But, I mean, there will always be people out there who will, you know, demonstrate intolerance, you know, that, is the case. So, now, when it comes to the kind of one of the biggest, hottest topics right now is DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Now, does this impact you at all?
No, it doesn't impact me or my family, directly.
Okay, great. So even though it doesn't affect you directly, what is your opinion on this? Because obviously you came here, you know, through the channels, you know, but what's your opinion on, you know, the act, you know, the Deferred Action Act, and how it's being handled?
I see videos on Facebook and Twitter all the time of the deportations, and then you see the family in the background, and sometimes you read just the little caption on top of people that have never been to this country, and it's they're 40 or they're 30 and they're being sent back. And I literally when I first started seeing the videos, I started crying. That was before I was 14, I never went back to Pakistan. That's like someone telling me at 14, hey, you're going to go back to Pakistan, even though you've never been there. And you have to start this whole new life here because you don't belong here. And then you see, like, these people, like, they have these whole lives here, like, family, business, everything, and they're just told to go. You know, like, how can you be so, like, mean to these people?
To me, I just find it, I don't know, just real callous, you know, to do that, you know, because, again, you know, this is the only home that they've known, you know, and to throw them into an environment that is completely foreign through no fault of their own, directly, you know, that to me it's crazy. So I'm hoping that'll get resolved to help, you know, because just the threat or the uncertainty of being able to feel comfortable in your own home is enough. I think it creates really undue stress, and it's just, I just think it's torture in a way.
Definitely. It's like when you go to sleep at night, that's probably like the only thing on your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, what do you feel would be some of the biggest challenges, or do you see are the biggest challenges in being multicultural in today's America?
Getting people to see, to hear things after they hear that you're Muslim. I feel like sometimes people just hear that I'm Muslim, or like they see my skin color, and it's like you can see like automatic response that they will do a mean taunt or something. Like if I was in Florida this summer, and sometimes, like, you know, like I said, Northern Virginia is like a really nice diverse area, so we don't feel that right here. When you go to other areas of the country that are less liberal, it's just people are very mean there. So I feel like even the fact that sometimes you don't want, they don't want to, I went to a pizza shop and they didn't want to serve me and my family. So just seeing that, I was so blown away. And it's because I don't like people, when people guess where I'm from, most of the time I get Arab, but my mom, she looks like, I guess, Pakistani, because she wears like a headscarf. And the reaction that she gets from people, like, it's insane.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know, how we, you know, get through that. I guess recognizing, you know, the Virginia environment, you know, and the fact that there's a more educated and diverse, you know, environment, you know, and you don't have those responses, and then you go to those others. I guess maybe the only way to shift a lot of that is to have more diversity in different areas to mm-hmm. Because I guess, you know, once people get to know you or get to know someone, you know, from a Pakistani heritage or Asian or African American, you know, once you get to know someone and have that personal connection, then it's more difficult to be so readily judgmental, I guess.
It's 100%, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, in the book is called Finding Home. So in it, you said that you're desperately looking for a place to call home. So exactly, what does, you know, what does that mean? What does home mean to you? And what have you kind of learned so far as to what that means?
Home means somewhere where you feel like you belong and you don't have to be somebody else. Till I was 15 or 16, I didn't think America was home, just because I was told my entire, like, all in elementary school and middle school, you know, you don't belong here. And I go back to Pakistan, you don't belong here either. You're too modern for us. Like, America's changed you. So I was going back and forth, and I knew I belonged to both of these countries, but I didn't know which one, like, I belonged to. So I found writing, and I started writing. And I think now I've realized that, you know, America is my home. Well, I go back to Pakistan every year, and it is the most beautiful country ever. But the life that I have here, I wouldn't be able to give up. because of like all of, despite everything that is happening, this country still has like a lot of freedoms and liberties that aren't offered there. So I think now coming to terms with, you know, home doesn't have to be perfect. Home can have flaws. That doesn't mean it's not home.
Yeah, yeah, that's very astute. So now when you recognizing that, you know, America's home, when you go back to Pakistan, do you find that there are people there who are interested and open to your perspective, and, you know, maybe younger people like within your age range that are also wanting to experience what you are?
Yeah, there's a lot, actually. I was just there in December, and I brought my books, about like 15 or 20, and I was just like handing them out to my cousins, and then they passed it on to their friends. And I honestly, I didn't expect that much of a reaction, and they were very intrigued.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, to me, when it comes to making changes in culture and attitudes, really the young people lead the way. You know, I mean, it's you know, whenever we've seen any kind of major changes, and you know, even in the U.S., the younger generation, most of them, you know, shy away from a political affiliation because they're more apt to be interested in the person themselves and their views and their policies rather than party. You know what I mean? So it seems that the younger people are the ones that are going to, I guess, lead the way in the shift. So, you know, we kind of have to wait for them to get older and in power, you know, to be able to implement that. Now, your book is poems, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, and in the poems, you refer to feeling like a ship at sea. So, why did you choose that metaphor, the ship at sea?
Because I always felt like I was floating back in between Pakistan and America, and there was no button that I could press that would just let me land somewhere, like for permanently. I was just floating back and forth.
Okay, okay, and you know, I mean, when I read that, I mean, it just seemed that, you know, when you talked about, you know, as far as home, I mean, at sea, there really is no port. You know, it's kind of like there's no way to anchor and either, you know, to be able
to
put the anchor down.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you consider America your home. What are your goals? In moving forward, obviously you graduated high school, so what's next for you?
I hopefully, when I get into Georgetown University, I want to pursue a business degree there, but also I plan on publishing another book in 2019, and I want to become an influencer if I get the chance.
Yeah, well, I think you will. continuing to write. You know, I mean, like you said, when you brought those books back to your cousins in Pakistan, and they, you know, started, you know, passing it around. I mean, it's the one thing that I've learned as an author is you just never know the reach that your book is going to have on people. I mean, and quite often, you won't even know. I mean, you know, chances are you probably don't know how many people already have read your book. I mean, even though there may have been a limited number, but it being passed around and then, you know, it plants the seed in those people of, well, if Dua can do this and feel this way, then why can't I?
It was like, I remember when I first published, I just, you know, I had this different idea. I felt like I was just younger. And then in September and October, I started going to high schools in my area and talking in libraries about my book. And I got to see, like, people's reactions. And when you see, like, other kids, they start crying because, like, they can relate to it. And then you start thinking this is about way more than just me. And it changes you.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just like in June it'll be a year since I published, but I feel like I've grown so much as a person because like you see people's reactions that you never expected.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, that's the one thing is, you know, when you see something that you've done that you thought was really for you, you know, or maybe you and your immediate family kind of thing, and recognize that it really touches the hearts of so many other people, it just, you know, and you recognize, well, you know, this is bigger than me. I mean, like you said, you know, this is bigger than me. And then it becomes clear that the words that you put together and the words that you publish can make a difference and can influence people. So that's why I said, you know, you said you hope to be an influencer. Right? I mean, you already are. So you can shift that tense, you know, to hopeful to be I am. So now with the book that you wanted to come out in 2019, what is that going to be like? What does that entail?
I hope for it to be a novel about a Pakistani girl, again, growing up in America. But it'll tell, like, my book right now, Poetry, it tells a little bit, a glimpse. But this time I'm going to break down the whole way that she grew up in America. And I'm going to say that she had an autistic little sister that she didn't know about till 5 years later. And she's taking care of it while around the South Asian culture while in, like, first century, like, America. I hope it's going to be interesting.
So now, is this a reflection of you? I mean, kind of like your story put into novel form?
I do have an autistic little brother, so that's sort of the influence around it, but she's going to go through a lot more than I did. But
okay.
I'll probably take some parts like of my life and try to interpret that too.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, when it comes to writing, a lot of times it says, write what you know about. So, I mean, that's... And, you know, and it's good, you know, particularly when you're adding the multicultural aspect and, you know, the autistic aspect. I mean, you know, those are two, you know, very, two big areas that influence a lot of different people. So, I mean, the more that you can... touch on issues that affect a lot of people and provide a perspective that raises awareness, then you're going to be getting more of those tears like you had, you know, when you had your book reading. So, well, this is great. Well, now, are you on social media at all?
Yes. I'm on Instagram and on Twitter by the name Dua Hamad.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to join you there so I can follow you and you know, wait for that next story to come out. And now I do have a link for people to buy your book at Amazon.com. Is there any other links or anything that you want to share with people, or is that the best place?
That's the best place. And thank you so much for putting me the link.
Okay, well, my pleasure. My pleasure. I think, you know, I love, like I said, I love, you know, when youth are really making a difference. I had, probably about 4 years ago now, I had a pair of preteens from Atlanta who are doing work on saving endangered species, you know, and right now they have a nonprofit and they're going wild. And I just think that it's great when young people can... you know, say their piece, you know, and it's not easy, you know, to write and then publish, you know, and to follow through like you did. So that's, you know, kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, Dua, and I really want to thank you for your time today, and we'll be keeping in touch.
Yeah, I think, of course.
Great. Okay. Everyone, again today, my very special guest is Dua Hamad, and we are talking about her new book, Finding Home. And again, as I said, you can find her book at Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to her book in the show page description. Everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again...
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.